Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 15, Text 25, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Savai ratnam tu tadrishtva.
Savai ratnam tu tadrishtva.
Atmaishvaryati shayanam.
Atmaishvaryati shayanam.
Tannadriyatagnihotriyang.
Tannadriyatagnihotriyang.
Sabhilasha sahai hayah. Translation, Kartavirya Arjuna thought that Jamadagni was more powerful and wealthy than himself because of possessing a jewel in the form of the Kama Dhenu. Therefore, he and his own men, the Haihayas, were not very much appreciative of Jamadagni's reception. On the contrary, they wanted to possess that Kama Dhenu, which was useful for the execution of the Agnihotra sacrifice. Purport. Jamadagni was more powerful than Kartavirya Arjuna because of performing the Agnihotra Yajna with clarified butter received from the Kama Dhenu. Not everyone can be expected to possess such a cow. Nonetheless, an ordinary man can possess an ordinary cow, give protection to this animal, take sufficient milk from it, and engage the milk to produce butter and clarified ghee, especially performing the Agnihotra Yajna. This is possible for everyone. Thus we find that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Goraksha, the protection of cows. This is essential because if cows are cared for properly, they will surely supply sufficient milk. We have practical experience in America that in our various ISKCON farms, we are giving proper protection to the cows and receiving more than enough milk. In other farms, the cows do not deliver as much milk as in our farms because our cows know very well that we are not going to kill them. They are happy and they give ample milk. Therefore, this instruction given by Lord Krishna, Goraksha, is extremely meaningful. The whole world must learn from Krishna how to live happily without scarcity simply by producing food grains, Anad Bhavanti Bhutani, and giving protection to the cows, Goraksha. Krishi Goraksha Vani Jyang Vaishya Karma Swabhavajam. Those who belong to the third level of human society, namely the mercantile people, must keep land for producing food grains and giving protection to cows. This is the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. In the matter of protecting the cows, the meat-eaters will protest. But in answer to them, we may say that since Krishna gives stress to cow protection, those who are inclined to eat meat may eat the flesh of unimportant animals like hogs, dogs, goats, and sheep, but they should not touch the life of the cows, for this is destructive to the spiritual advancement of human society. As usual, everything Srila Prabhupada says makes complete sense and is very logically and straightforwardly and reasonably presented here in this purport. Although Srila Prabhupada is quite aware that such statements may bring protests. Protest against cow protection by the meat eaters. And even the protest about cow protection won't bring as much protest as the idea that, well, you can eat the meat of other animals like dogs, Prabhupada recommends here. Hogs, goats, and sheep, most of the meat eaters are quite happy with. Not hogs for the Muslims, and not dogs for Muslims or Christians. So it will raise the hackles of meat eaters, non-Hindu meat eaters, raise their hackles. You know what that means? That means to get angry. And it comes from when a dog gets angry, the hairs on the back of the, on the top of the shoulder, I guess you'd call it. There was maybe a veterinarian would know the technical name for that part, or a butcher might know. They have all, the butchers have names for different parts of the cow's body, the specialized names. It's also some technique, isn't it? What's that called? Is someone offered that? No? Okay. So, here we are on this farm attempting to reify Srila Prabhupada's instructions. There's another fancy word for you. That means to put, to actualize, which is another fancy word. Actual, to bring into effect, to make concrete some idea. So Srila Prabhupada within his books has given all direction for individual spiritual advancement and for the total re-spiritualization of human society. Now you know all that, you all know that word, but I don't think most people know that, even English speakers. Re-spiritualization, you probably won't find it in the dictionary. It's really a concept that Srila Prabhupada introduced, the idea to what does it mean to spiritualize something? Maybe they have the idea to bring some ghosts. In the English language, the idea of spirit is it. The most popular spirit is whiskey, vodka, that kind of spirit. And otherwise, if they think of spirits, they think of ghosts. It's all right. It's the morning class, not the evening class. We can talk about spirits here. And the re-spiritualization, what on earth does that mean? If you want to find out, read Srila Prabhupada's books or come here. This is supposed to be a microcosm. Microcosmic. There's another fancy word for you. You all got that one? You all know that one? How are you going to translate that into Hindi? Namuna? Sample? Something like that. Sample of the, of really, of what the whole world should be doing. As Srila Prabhupada writes here, the whole world must learn from Krishna how to live happily without scarcity, simply by producing food grains and giving protection to the cows. There's a very simple formula, simple living and high thinking. Those were, that term was not coined by Srila Prabhupada, but he often quoted it, and communities for simple living and high thinking, both of which are not inherent in the nature of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul is looking for bhogaishvarya, sense gratification and opulence. Srila Prabhupada often quoted about Marshall's economic theories, which he learned in college, in which one of the things that he would quote is that a man would live simply, but there's one thing which makes him not live simply, and that's called stree, woman, which means vistara, to expand. When one gets a wife, then the ato griha, then you need a home. Kshetra, you need some land. Children come automatically. Sutta, apta, then there's all relatives and then money. All these considerations come. Otherwise, people could live fairly simply. But especially in the modern age, the idea of simple living, people can't imagine. It's very difficult for them to imagine. Those who are born, say, 15 years ago, they can't imagine living without cell phones. And practically the whole world now, Everyone in Bangladesh has a cell phone. When I was there in the 1980s, most people had never even heard of a phone. They had no idea what a phone was. So, life is becoming unnecessarily complicated. And high thinking. High thinking, you're saying it. High thinking? High thinking? What's that? What is that? That means we should build a skyscraper. That's high thinking, right? Especially in the modern age, it's going down day by day. Tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam socham kshamadaya kalena raj kalena balina rajan nangshantayur balang smritihi. In Kali Yuga, day by day things go down, down, down. Dharma satyam socham. Anyway, you're all Indians, you can understand what these words mean. Socham, kshama, daya. Yeah, you don't have to translate all that. Well, I guess I'll say it in English for someone who might be sitting somewhere on the other end in some other continent. And so dharma, you all know what dharma means. Does anyone know what dharma means? It's very difficult to define. It's one of those terms like mind or love, which everyone has some idea of what it means, but it's very difficult to exactly define. So dharma, religion, occupational duty, there's some attempts at translating it. Dharma, satyam, truthfulness, socham, cleanliness, kshama, tolerance or forgiveness, daya, mercy. Yeah, mercy means you kill the animals humanely. That's the idea. What a horrible idea. It's so horrible, isn't it? So horrible that we kill them humanely. What a perverse way of thinking to say such a thing, to even think such a thing. Daya, when people have mercy, when they think of mercy, they think of mercy to humans. There's always... You'll find there's always so much protest about so many how humans are mistreating others and they're making wars. And most people, they never even think that there are literally millions of... If you take all the fish, chicken, cows, ducks, goats, sheep, they're being killed every day. Must be well over a million every day. Even in India alone, if you think the average Indian eats... How much? 1/10 of a chicken a day? Maybe that's too much. Okay, 1 in 20. Okay, then that in itself would be... It must be well over a million chickens killed in India a day, if you consider the population, and most of them are chicken eating. I don't think they'll have big riots because someone insulted someone else or something like this, but they don't think. Daya, the quality of mercy, is hardly there. Then, kalena balinara, by the mighty force of time, all these things become decreased. Lifespan, bodily strength, mental strength, ability to everything decreases. So, even... little over 100 years ago or so, there might have been definitely more concept of high thinking. Even in the Western world, the idea of nobility and being a gentleman, Srila Prabhupada often used the word gentleman. Some idea was there. Still, if there's any culture left, it's in India. If there's anything left. And it's really going downhill very quickly. It's been going downhill very quickly for as long as I've been in India. But still, there's some culture here. Uh, So these communities are meant for reviving that. Simple living and high thinking. The two things go together very well. It's difficult to have bhoga and aishvarya, to have an opulent life and have high thinking. If one is very concerned with one's standard of opulence, then one is thinking about prestige, and then it's just such an effort to maintain it all. We may think that life is so much easier with, for instance, if you want to come here from Delhi, simple living, okay, walk. It'll take you more than a month. Come by train, overnight, more or less, a bit more than overnight. So it's so much easier. You want to cook some sabji, okay, just switch on the gas, otherwise you have to collect wood, burn it, and get smoke in your face, and unless you know how to make a proper chula so you don't get smoke in your face. Then you have to clean up the ashes afterwards, and there's so much headache. But then to have all these things, to have train lines, there's so much ugra karma, people have to go and dig up the earth and make smelting works to separate the iron from the iron ore and make steel and pollute everything, and people have the facility of some comforts, but there's so much discomfort involved in producing all these things. Plus the effect of all this ugra karma is to pollute the mind with the lower modes of nature. Whereas if one is living in a more pristine environment, that pristine means, in this sense, it means natural and undisturbed, then that is more suitable for cultivating higher thinking. It doesn't necessarily mean, if one is living in an environment like this, that one will, it is not necessarily, we hear all around us the Bollywood music, I guess technically it's called music, although it's not really music, it's some kind of sound, but it's technically it would be classified under music. So clearly the people, and all the villages I presume are all drinking, the men at least, if not the women, even though Gujarat is a dry state, alcohol is not allowed to be legally sold here, but it's everywhere, in the villages at least. Maybe not so much in the towns, which is why Daman is a popular visiting spot for people in the area. Daman is a little enclave of, what is it? Is it connected? What's it connected? It was connected with Goa. Is it? It's a Portuguese. So alcohol sale is allowed there. So, but locally made, the police aren't going to stop it. They drink it themselves. So it doesn't necessarily bring high consciousness. That has to be cultivated. Traditionally, that was cultivated in the villages of India, but that's broken down now. The old caste system is broken to a large extent by the money culture and education, the consumer society, TV, all these things. So what we're doing here is a completely different approach to life, to anything that's going on in the world. There are people in the Western countries who are thinking about these things, and increasingly so in India, not just thinking about it, doing it. And the highest concept they have of cooperative living is that of a gifting society, that you don't get paid for what you're doing, but you just do it as a kind of gift. But it's still not, You just do it for the benefit of others. But it still doesn't have the idea of varnashram dharma. Where in dharma you don't think, I'm giving, I'm doing this, I am doing this to benefit someone else. That still puts the individual at the center. But the whole idea is that everyone lives together and works together to follow, minimally to follow dharma. There may not be a very clear concept of why we should follow dharma, but it's just there in the culture. But then if one understands that yagyartat karmano nyatra, everyone works for the benefit, and yagya for yagya, and yagya means Vishnu, yagyarta, for the sake of yagya. So yagya is generally understood to mean what is translated in English as sacrifice. So everyone's work is geared at sacrifice. That means that you produce, the Vaishya has to produce more grains than are needed for himself, and even he has to distribute to all the village, or he has to give to the king in tax. And then the king, when they get so much grains, then a lot of the grains and ghee, and that's used for yagya, which again, that makes the situation, because the demigods become satisfied, and then they give rains, seasonal rains, not too much, not too little. This is how it works. But another understanding of yagya is that it's yagya is Vishnu, so everyone should work for the sake of Vishnu. And Krishna makes that more clear later in the Gita, yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhoshi. That's the individual he should do. So as a group, everyone is working for the sake of yagya. The whole society is aimed at that. And individually, one thinks that every action I'm doing it for offering to Vishnu. So there's no question, as in the modern age of hiring labor, you have to pay people to work. You do this much work, you get this much money. No question. It's completely different to the money culture, or that you're doing something, therefore you have to get something back. It's just automatic. That's all. It's just not thought about that you. I did this much work, I need to get this much reward. It's just not thought about. It's just everyone works as it's their dharma to do so. And in a Vaishnav society, everyone will want to do more and more service. Everything is service. It's not that you do your work and you have entertainment separately, but everything is service to Krishna. So this is Srila Prabhupada's, one of his great gifts, his gift of Krishna consciousness. He said that book distribution and farms, these are our two most important programs. The books give the idea and the farms give the practical application. Of course, one can be Krishna conscious in any situation, but making these communities means to make an environment which is suitable for practicing Krishna consciousness. There is a theory going round. Well, it's not going round, it's coming from the top of what's called ISKCON, that, well, we have to make, what is it you told me? We have to make a situation favorable for preaching. We have to make a situation favorable for preaching. And to do that, we don't preach to prominent people, otherwise they might get upset with us. Those who can help us or harm us, we don't preach to them. So to make the situation favorable for preaching, you have to suss someone out and then you decide whether or not to preach to them. And you make people favorable. So that's the idea. Well, these farms are meant for making a favorable situation. for practicing Krishna consciousness. Preaching is the essence. Srila Prabhupada, he accepted that statement. You may say, well, where's the preaching here? Why are you taking all these people to the farm? They could be out preaching. Of course, it's difficult to preach in the cities because people are addicted to TV and kami food. So you can make it easier by telling the people that, well, you just chant Hare Krishna and you can also watch TV and eat kami food. And then the preacher, so as not to alienate the people and make them feel that it's easy for them to chant Hare Krishna, he can also watch TV and eat kami food. And in this way, we can preach. But yeah, I guess you wouldn't want to give them Prabhupada's books because you don't want to upset them. And if they put things like they can eat dogs, then they're going to be... Prabhupada says right here that the meat eaters will protest. So, better not give the book. You have to select a book. Well, you can't find any book of Prabhupada's in which there aren't things that people won't like. So make your own books, which don't have all these things which will make people upset. That's another way of preaching. But the only problem is, there are lots of problems. One thing is, Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parandapa. Well, we have to do something new. So Bhagavad Gita says, due to the mighty influence of time, why wait for the mighty influence of time? We can do it immediately. We can spoil everything. So, we want to show that everything Srila Prabhupada said is perfect, all his ideas are perfect. Why, as he says, because Krishna's idea, he says here, this instruction given by Lord Krishna, Gauraksha, protecting cows, is extremely meaningful. And Srila Prabhupada, he often said that he's not mentioned dog raksha or any other animal raksha. Specifically protection of cows. That doesn't mean that other animals are to be mistreated, but special attention is given to cows. So Srila Prabhupada did want the farms to be basis for preaching also. At Hyderabad, he wanted the devotees to go out in bullock carts and preach in the nearby villages and call the people for kirtan and prasadam. But in and of itself, this kind of community is a preaching to show people how they can live in a manner which is conducive for Krishna consciousness. It is possible to live without cell phones. It is possible to live without electricity. People can't imagine nowadays, even though most people in India today, the great majority of people, at least their grandparents, would have grown up without electricity. Or even in the towns, there was electricity, but not much of the time. In most of the time, at least where I was in West Bengal in the 1970s, there was electricity sometimes. And usually it was too low. There'd be, even when it came, the wattage, I guess it would be so low that the electric light, you get much more light from the Petromax. That's very bright. The light would be very, very little, and then it would be flickering and go off. So most people in the villages, most places, until I think it must be 1980s, electrification started in earnest and started to reach the villages. But nowadays people, they just can't imagine. And the same kind of troubles that have the Western world has got from its progressive life are coming in India, to this, the diseases that come, lifestyle diseases or from sedentary lifestyle, that people can't sit with crossed legs because they don't have any practice. They're just simple things. They can't do it. So all the same problems are coming. And they're just following the same pattern that the Westerners have already done. So the farms are required part of preaching. Sometimes we hear devotees say, well, we distributed so many books, and then what happened? People didn't become Krishna conscious. We have to find some other way to preach. Well, the books, they're called sometimes compared to time bombs, because Srila Prabhupada, in one famous letter, he said that we're distributing these books, and he gave the example, just like bombs are raining down in the wartime. Srila Prabhupada had personal experience of that, of being in Calcutta when the Japanese were bombing it, although some people say it was the British bombing it, because the bombs never seemed to fall in the British quarters. You don't know. We don't know. Anyway, Prabhupada had experience of bombs. So he said they're raining down. So he said that book distribution is like that. But then some devotees came out there, well, they're like time bombs, because we don't usually find that someone gets a book, and you'd think that by getting the book and reading it, they'd say, yeah, that's it. This is great. This is what we have to do. We don't see that happen very much. So the idea is given, they're time bombs. It'll take some time. So why aren't the bombs going off? The question can be put. Well, one reason is you need some, there's a fuse and a light, and you have to activate the bomb. And they need igniting. So we need to walk the talk. You know that saying. It's still very popular in America, I guess. You just don't talk about it. You have to do it. So the farms, they are to demonstrate how we can live in Krishna consciousness. We don't have to be part of this sense gratificatory society, which is completely the totally misguided modern civilization. Everyone should read this purport time to time. This Kamasya Nendriya Priti Labho Jiveta Yavataji. What is it? Jivasya tattva jignyasa neha yas narto yas cheha karma bihi. Should read this purport from time to time. It's just one purport just completely shows the whole problem of modern life. It's just everything is geared at sense gratification. In politics, the life's desires should not be aimed at sense gratification. One should desire a healthy life only for inquiring into the absolute truth. That should be the goal of all work. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he says, he found the central thread of everything in modern life, sense gratification. He says, the politicians, they promise, and the voters vote for them, but they can never fulfill, they can never satisfy the voters. And so they throw them out. The voters throw out the politicians. He says, even in the field of religion and even in salvation, the idea of sense gratification is more and more prominent. So it's really revolutionary, in as much as living without the goal of sense gratification, either gross or subtle. Subtle means Ishvaroham. I'm so big, look at me, I'm so great. There's no prestige in living on a farm. In fact, in English, as is pointed out in an 11th canto purport by Hridayananda Das Goswami, that at least in America and England, and to call someone a farmer, the idea is that, well, that means there's someone stupid, backward, simple. It's an insult. Oh, yeah, just he's a farmer. What does he know? He doesn't know anything. So, of course, when if and when, it's more a question of when, the societal breakdown, then the farmers will be in the best position. They may not know how to play computer games, but when the societal breakdown, being an expert in computer games, well, it's not going to help you. If you know how to grow wheat and rice, that's going to be very helpful. Most people don't have a clue. They have no idea. Remember once we were in Udupi, and someone brought a pineapple for me. I said, well, where did that come from? And he said, and Ryush, what's his initiated name? Ravi Prakash. He said, oh, he brought it from his own tree. You didn't laugh. Yeah, they don't grow pineapples around here. Pineapples don't grow on trees. He's from Delhi. What can you expect? Sorry. He brought it from his own tree. So, they don't have any idea. So these communities are meant for to show a sample of a complete change of society. Cows, protecting cows. It's a big thing politically in India at the present moment. Although it's being played down by the press and by the government even. Because it's a Hindu sentiment, you can say, to not kill cows. But hey, we need that oil from Kuwait and other countries. You got to pay for it in foreign exchange. And beef is a major source of foreign exchange. And most of it, the Indian beef mostly goes to the Gulf countries. Export beef and get back oil. So the governments then, they may have some Hindu sentiment, but they're not going to stop. They need the foreign exchange. So protecting cows and living simply, they're both ways of establishing dharma, because this whole oil-based society, that is, that makes money-centered society. That's another thing you have to investigate for India. It's not just, what do we do? Okay, we all live simply, and then we close down all the factories, and then there are no munitions factories, and an army needs industrialization, and India needs an army. Otherwise, the national slogan of India will become Pakistan Zindabad. Really? It's a fact, isn't it? So that's something we have to consider. This country needs industry. At least for the sake of keeping it from domination by China or Pakistan or both. So that's another thing, because India is a net importer of oil by far. The oil comes from, so that's a major consideration. We're talking about preaching this to everyone, but there are some practical considerations also. India's oil dependency makes her very, puts India in a fragile condition and not in a position to dictate to others. Even India has a lot of military strength and economic strength, but still, the dependency on oil puts India in a very precarious, in terms of security, national security, in a very precarious position. So these are things that we have to think about also. We're sitting here on the farm, but the high thinking should also extend to practical matters, which Srila Prabhupada, he was very concerned with very practical matters. We'll find, in just like in this purport and in his conversations and his letters, he was very concerned with the practical implementation of Krishna consciousness. So I don't have any answer for that on the spot, other than preaching to the Pakistanis also, making them all devotees. Can be done, should be done. But it's not going to happen overnight. So we're showing this in microcosm, but we should also make plans, schemes, and have answers for one devotee I heard, I can't remember, I don't think he told me personally, someone told me, he's very much promoting Varnashram, and he had a chance to meet some leaders of society in Ukraine. This was quite some years ago, when this was just after the, not long after Ukraine, I don't know how to say, left the USSR. The USSR broke up and Ukraine became an independent country. Well, it didn't really secede because the whole USSR just ceased to exist and then new countries came out of it. So this devotee, he was preaching to some big people that why follow, okay, communism failed and why follow the Western way of life with all the capitalism, consumerism, and all the problems that come with that? And they were saying, okay, show us, you know, what do we do? Give us something practical. And then he was stuck. Chanting Hare Krishna is required for purification. Otherwise, people won't be able to accept this. We have to spread the Sankirtan movement. With anyabhilashita shunyam, that our life's desires should be centered on Krishna. Otherwise you have capitalism, communism. I was just listening to a conversation of Srila Prabhupada in which he was talking about communism and capitalism. He said it's basically the same mentality, that they all want to enjoy the resources of the world, but the communists, seeing that some people have so much and they don't, they want to take it from them and then let everyone enjoy the resources of the world equally. So Prabhupada gave the example, some Bengali saying that they're fighting over the husk of the coconut. But that's not the most important thing, what's inside the coconut. So he said they missed the real issue. So he's saying neither capitalism or they're both missing the point. So it's a whole, if you see Srila Prabhupada's movement, it's a whole holistic, uniform plan that people have to know what is the purpose of life. They have to take the process of purification and then they can live in a manner which is conducive for that process of purification. So it's a great time for preaching in the world as confusion reigns. With the internet, no one can believe anything. Even the president of America is always complaining about fake news. And did they go to the moon or didn't they? Is the earth flat or not? What other issues? There are all kinds of things going. Evolution or non-evolution, big bang or big pendulum swing, big bounce, and whatever is accepted theories, they're all being challenged in a way which seems credulous. Just like people who are promoting flat earth theory, they present it in what seems to be a very scientific way. And they've had some hits, they've had some success in. They were saying, look, I'm not going to the moon, that's another one. And they say, Hey, look at these photos from Earth, from supposed to be from space of the Earth. It's all photoshopped. And then NASA admitted, yeah, actually it's photoshopped. Well, and they give some reason for it. 9/11, you don't know what's going on. It's just complete confusion. And now, as you're telling me, the hashtag Me Too movement, and then people as in America especially are saying that the feminism, it's just gone too far, it's too much, and the whole society is divided on women are being blah, 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 blah. And then the other side, hey, yeah, come on, you're getting too much, get back in the kitchen. It's going like that. Kitchen? What's that? Kitchen? Kitchen? Oh, that's in the restaurant where our hamburgers come from. It's called the kitchen, right? So it's a very, very confused time. So in India also, because anyway, you can see the caste problems and then the gender problems with the women and women wanting to have their freedom, and then they made the laws such that if a woman just complains, no evidence, immediately husband and in-laws, they're in prison, just on a complaint. So it's a very, and it's coming in India also, that men don't want to marry. It's just too much of a risk. The law makes it too much of a risk. So they're very, very confused society. So it's a great opportunity for showing people a better way of life. Okay, nothing new I said today. Same things, just reorienting ourselves for what we're doing. And Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much, those of you who are coming here, living here, and other projects. It's simple living and high thinking. It's difficult to implement it because we have such complicated minds and high thinking. Even if we try to think high, our consciousness tends to go down low. So it is a great challenge to do this. 50% of my work, Prabhupada says, is not done. You think what he did. What a great job. In Srila Prabhupada's presence, everything seemed very easy. But because for him, Krishna consciousness is just completely natural. But he would say that, well, it's natural for everyone, but it doesn't seem to be so natural for us. So it is a great struggle in so many ways to establish these communities. It's a struggle. Struggle against the apathy at best from the broader ISKCON world. Struggle to get money. Funny thing, to have simple living, you need lots of money. And just to buy the land is so expensive. And then infrastructure and getting the land and growing food is not the most difficult thing. The dealing with people is no doubt the greatest challenge. And what to speak of? Ashram Dharma, we have a fairly good idea of that. But Varna Dharma, instituting that, not so easy. So thank you again and again for taking this up. It gives some meaning to my life that you're all dedicating to this. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.